With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect! Garland went to the lane, locked the Mobley, pow! And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow! With the left hand and a foul!
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try it for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. The Cleveland Cavaliers are coming off a palate-cleansing win over the Charlotte Hornets after their trip to South Beach did not go as planned. Joining me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, buddy. And I didn't take a slide. Sorry, I don't think our live stream started appropriately until like literally just now. So,
okay.
Welcome everyone.
Justin's good execution, intro is, buddy. You're doing terrific. Dope.
Well, here's the thing about the YouTube launcher, and I have a real nit to pick here. If you click go live and then click away from the tab, sometimes it doesn't go live till you click back into the tab. So I was doing a little multitasking, Justin, and I got burned.
Well, how about that? The Cavs at least did not get burned against the Charlotte Hornets tonight. A much-needed win. It was a frustrating weekend for the Cavs. Obviously, the loss in Miami was just... That's one of those games that you just completely throw out. I saw George Niang talk about it after the game, but, I think as a fan base, we are certainly feeling some anxiety when it comes to the Cavs. Things just haven't been going well. And I think... You know, getting this game out of the way where, all right, we at least start to see some things work. I know at least for me emotionally, it was pretty big. Obviously, no one's going to sit here and say everything's fixed because they beat the Charlotte Hornets. There's still a lot of, reasons for concerns and things to talk about when it comes to this team. But, you know, sometimes... It's almost like, I don't know if you ever do this, Carter, but whether you play like a lot of Madden or 2K, sometimes I just turn the difficulty down for a little bit because I'm like, I'm not making any reads. I'm doing everything wrong. I need a game to kind of just reset. And hopefully these games against the Charlotte Hornets will be that for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, yeah, I think they just needed an end-to-end win in the end. Like they, in their 9 wins since the All-Star break, you've got a 3-point win against Chicago. Oh, I'm sorry, that was right before. Sorry. You've got a 2-point win against Dallas on that miracle play. You've got a 1-point win against Boston on that miracle. You have an overtime win against Minnesota. They just didn't have a lot of wire-to-wire winners, and they did have a few wire-to-wire losers. Yeah. When you're not playing well consistently and when you are winning, it's kind of coming by the skin of your teeth. Like, it just doesn't feel very good. I don't want to linger too hard on the Miami game in particular. Because it is what it is in the end. I think more than anything, it's good that the Cavs offense got back on track. I saw someone, I didn't fact check this, so please forgive me if it's wrong. But I saw someone on Twitter mention that they had gone 12 quarters without scoring 30 points.
Wow.
And like that's pretty uncommon in the modern league. So the fact that they kind of got their feet under them, started hitting some threes, running really good offense, like again, it's you're grading on a curve, but you needed to get an A anyway.
Yeah, and I don't want to dwell too much on the Miami loss, but at the same time, I do think that it's important that we talk about kind of the larger trends right now, because, you know, while some people I think are defaulting to very macro takeaways from this stretch, which I certainly wouldn't advise, I do think when it comes to this season, there's a lot of reason to be concerned. You know, you're trying to get everybody healthy, get in a rhythm at one time, and you know, whether it's Darius, who after the Pelicans game just kind of hasn't gone, you know, back to being the impactful version of himself that we saw prior to that, or at least continuing in the direction that he was trending. You know, Jared talking about the body being worn down. Even Isaac Okoro isn't playing particularly well, at least heading into this Charlotte game. Like, there's not a lot of things that are clicking. And with how competitive the Eastern Conference is and how competitive we anticipate the playoffs in general being, I think there's just an obvious kind of sense of unease when it comes to how the Cavs are doing, how they're going to be, what kind of form they're going to be heading into the playoffs. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of time to kind of right the ship, but it's funny. We talked about, I think it was at the 23 game mark, where we were sitting there and we're like, 23 is a lot of games, man. Like, we might go through three separate versions of like seasons and vibes for this team throughout that time. There's still a chance that things are looking very different 10 games from now. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge these 10 games are really important, and it's really important that, you know, they start looking more like themselves again at some point here.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the East just getting hot all at the same time kind of around them while they got cold, you know. Yeah. The Knicks are red hot right now. They're a half game back and they do have the tiebreaker. You know, these are the things that you have to kind of keep an eye on, and you're going to have to go ahead and like, you're going to have to earn it if you want to hold on to the 3 seed. If you want, you know, the 2 seed's pretty much, I would say, pretty close to done and dusted, unless Milwaukee blows a couple down the stretch, which they absolutely could. But, you know, like, it does matter. It does. And they have to find some rhythm going in. Like, I guess sometimes teams just get to the postseason and everything clicks in. But, like, I don't really feel like it's this team's kind of profile.
It's usually teams that have done it before that, you know, have shown that they can flip the switch and, you know,
or screwing around.
Right, right. And honestly, I don't even know if it's that. Like, the thing is, we had identified this at the start of the year, basically. Like, when we do schedule talk, we're like, man, that's a lot of games without playing in the same city on, like, consecutive games. Like, that's constant travel throughout this entire stretch. And that was prior to us thinking, oh, well, you know, they're going to be missing 60% of their starting lineup for a lot of this. The guys that are in there, you've got a worn down Jared Allen that's been asked to do a lot this year to make up for, you know, the injuries that we've had. No Donovan Mitchell. Darius is still working his way back. Like, you basically needed 2021, 2022 Darius Garland, where, yeah, we don't have a lot of guys that can initiate. We don't have a lot of guys that can generate rim pressure. It's all on your shoulders. And he's just looking to get back into form. So, like, it's a really tough spot to be in.
He hasn't been an all-star caliber point guard, especially the back half of this season, since coming back, you know. And that's not to say we don't love Darius or we don't root for him, but, like, the quality of play on nights where the team kind of needs more, you know, you look at it, and since that New Orleans game, 12 points on 13 shots, 13 points on 18 shots, 20 points on 18 shots, 19 points on 21 shots, 9 points on 9 shots, and then finally tonight he got on the right side of that pendulum and had 15 on his 12. So, he hasn't been himself. He hasn't been the guy that, you know, we know he is, at his core. And like, when the team is missing their other rim pressuring options, like, you just are relying on a lot of people to you know, outpace their usual production to cover that. And some nights you can get that, but really he does still need to be the engine for them. So when he hasn't been able to be that, it's, you know, it's noteworthy. It's, There's a reason the offense has looked so chunky in these last three games. And even against Indy, it wasn't great. You know, they won that game on the other end of the floor there. So I think those are, you know, those are real concerns. And like, I don't want, and I do want to talk about this win because it was a fun win. And a very,
frankly, I just kind of want to get this part out of the way because I do think that is important to talk about.
Yeah. So you look at the Darius side of things. And like, I do think that is probably I think Allen just being a little worn down are kind of my two biggest non-injury related scares going into the postseason. Like, you know, Donovan is a tank. You know, you hope that the rest from the nasal fracture and the knee injury, you know, do him some good. I wanted Max Strus to take a month off because it felt like he was running around on a bad leg for a while. So I really, you know, I didn't want it like this, obviously, but
yeah. To show that they are truly prioritizing his health, right? Like it would be really easy to pull the, hey, Max, we know we are basically holding you back because you always want to be out there. You always want to be on the court. Go free, go give us some shooting. It would have been really easy to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, and then a guy like Dean, who's having the best year of his career, you know, right off of, you know, his miracle run against the Celtics, he goes out. But, you know, you hope with the knee thing, it's not like a recurring shoulder issue like from like last year. So you kind of think all those guys are going to come back and at least be, you know, pretty close to who they are. I just think it's time and like in reps and then the fact that two of the top four guys are not playing their best ball when they're on the floor right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And like at this point, no matter where you fall on this, because I think there was a lot of confirmation bias when I looked at, you know, some of the reactions to the Miami loss.
No.
You know, people jumped on the two bigs or whatever your preconceived notion of what the Cavs need to change is.
They gave you something.
Yeah, that was your takeaway from that particular game. And you know, the thing is, we need the Cavs, wherever you fall on that spectrum, wherever you want to kind of assign your concern, the conclusion is the same no matter what. It's, hey, they need to play better, right? Like, we're all saying the same thing. Nobody's saying, hey, like, this is the standard they need to play at. And honestly, like, the thing that crossed my mind after the Miami game was, after the Pels win, everybody in the locker room was talking about, hey, the Donovan effect, like getting Donovan Mitchell back after we've been shorthanded for so long since the All-Star break. Like, we've been really going through it, but it's uplifting to get Donovan back in our locker room. To have that moment, that emotional high, one of their best wins of the season against the Pelicans, and almost immediately after, it's, hey, he's going to miss another extended period of time. Like, we're going to have to ask you guys to be shorthanded and step up once again. Like, I almost feel like emotionally it was the straw that broke the camel's back. But I do like seeing that after the Miami loss, which was incredibly painful, nothing went well pretty much. And in the locker room after, everyone's saying, we're exhausted. Like, we're gassed. We don't have much left in the tank. For them to then come out against the Hornets, have an uneven first quarter where, you know, the defense is locked in, you're generating open shots, but you're not getting them to fall, and then to pull away and take care of business, that's encouraging because it's going to be a fight down the stretch, but this week is probably as important as they come because you play Charlotte twice, and then you have Philly at home, who is once again probably going to be without Joel Embiid. You know that Philly can win that game, but that is absolutely, when you're looking at the schedule, that's a game that the Cavs should be prioritizing and want to win. You probably need to win these next three in order to hold off a Knicks run here.
Yeah, and that's even before you start getting into schedule chicanery and wondering, you know, do you want the 4-5 to see if you can get a green magic team?
Okay, I just want to play better. I don't even care about
and,
that.
And that is what my answer always is just play better and win as many games as you can and figure it out later. But yeah, it is an important stretch. They need to obviously they need to get healthy. Serena Winners obviously reported that looks like the guys are starting to ramp up that have been missing some time. So
yeah, that they're all doing on court work, I believe, was the report.
Maybe you get them back on this road trip right before the, you know, the final couple games of the year, and just find some reps. You know, like we were talking at the All-Star break, what are the things you need to see? And unfortunately, we haven't really gotten to see any of it. And I think that is also contributing to the mood. Is like, you know, I wanted to see Darius take a leap, and you know, it's kind of been a bit of a regression. Since coming back from the jaw injury, despite having a few really, really good games in there.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the starting lineup not just be pretty good, but be great. Turns out I just didn't get to see it. And so everything is getting crammed in there. It's I do feel like the Cavs are like the kid at the midterm who, you know, misread the schedule, and he's got to cram the night before the test and just get as much knowledge packed into his brain as possible, because it's not going to be easy. They're not going to get it the way they want. And like, again, this is, I talked about this, I think when we had Andrew on, just talking about, you know, Andrew Claudio on about the Knicks, is both these teams that are trying to, you know, get up into that true contenders status. The one bummer about the way these teams are constructed is everything kind of has to be going right. You got to have all the gears spinning at the same speed.
Yeah.
And they just might not get that luxury. So I think there's no other way to say it other than like, I think they need some luck. I think they need some like, oh, we found something. What? You know, and hopefully the guys that are hurt come back healthy. It's all mood if Donovan comes back on one leg.
Yeah.
Tristan, I think, said that in the post game tonight, talking with the with John Michael. So hopefully they can get back to kind of who they are. But the problem with that is they also have to continue to define who they are in real time, which you just don't want to be doing in games 73 through 82.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Yeah, it's not an easy task, and the one thing that's encouraging, and you know, obviously I'm always going to approach things from a, you know, perspective of hope, we're asking them to do things that they've done before, right? Like when you look at them being flummoxed against the Miami zone, I remember in a game without Garland or Mitchell where Utah is throwing zone at us all game and we're like, wow, the Cavs are just busting the zone and Utah is not pivoting out of this. I can't believe they're sticking with this, right? And obviously Miami's
some broken brain
type of
plays. It was like they'd never seen a 2-3 or a 3-2 in their lives.
Right, right. So I think that's where you start to get to, you know, the fatigue factors and all those things. And whatever you want to, like, however much blame you want to ascribe to that or context, whatever you want to call it, the end result is the same. They need to play better. And I think the most encouraging thing that we've seen so far, at least in the last couple of days, is Evan Mobley came back, right? Like, thank God Evan Mobley is back in the lineup and he looks good physically. Right. Like I thought, honestly, there's a little bit of rust against Miami. And anytime you're a big man, how you perform is so often tied to the guys that are getting you the ball and how well the offense is running as a whole. I thought he was probably one of the few guys that looked all right against Miami on a night where nobody looked good. And then tonight against Charlotte, I thought he was awesome. I thought the defense was great. Career high in assists with 8. 17 points, 7 rebounds as well. Bodying Grant Williams and dunking.
He bodied Miles Bridges for an N1 as well, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, like all of that is really, really encouraging. And, you know, they're in a tough spot. Like when you look at the starting lineup, we've talked about in the past how offensively that only really works when Garland and Mitchell are both healthy and clicking. It's a tough ask when you've got, you know, Darius working his way back, then Karis out of his normal role in the starting lineup with Isaac Okoro. Like, there's just not a lot of spacing there, but there's also not a lot of options, right? Like, you look at the Miami matchup, and I don't think there was any choice that could have changed the result. I just don't think they had it that night. But you look at, like, the potential of, okay, starting Sam Merrill at shooting guard. Well, that leaves him guarding Terry Rozier, or you don't have Okoro and LeVert to throw at Jimmy and Terry, right? Like, there's just not a lot of easy answers when it comes to the Cavs, but I do think, you know, getting this win, getting back on the right track, I think if you can start to stack those successes where, all right, we're really going to make a point of going to Charlotte and executing, making sure we're running our stuff, you know, almost treating it like a practice. As you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Hornets, but you know, they've had a tough season and they've been banged up, but treating it in that way, try to get your execution right and then come home and take care of business against Philadelphia. If you can do that, you can start returning the engine, gaining some positive momentum and, you know, hopefully put yourself into position to win some of these games on this West Coast trip.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I think there's just, To the Miami point, I think they had really, like, they just weren't playing smart Cavaliers basketball. And I think you could say that about a lot of these games. And you can point to heavy legs. You can point to up and down seasons. You can just point to, like, they just aren't playing well. But, like, you look at tonight, they set their season high in assists with 41. You see how they look in, you know, a win against New Orleans where guys are just running into their sets and attacking, not this aimless half screen, half jog into a set. Like, everything they did tonight was with a purpose, you know, even at the end of that first quarter, I went in our Discord and said, like, no one yell at me, but, like, I think they're running pretty good stuff. They're just not, you know, they're 1 of 12 from three. And if they hit two or three more of those, then it's 26, 29 point quarter and we feel great, or at least fine. And I think they did that the rest of the way, you know. I thought
if they shot a normal percentage in that first quarter, they would have already been up like 12 points, right? Like, Charlotte was throwing that same zone at them that Miami did, and you know, they did the right things. They used Allen as the hub at the nail. They generated good looks. Like, the thing, when the Cavs offense doesn't look good over this stretch, it really turns into a lot of drive and kick, right? Like, they're not actually getting to the rim. There isn't the rim pressure. It's just kind of,
I think that's a little disrespectful to drive and kick.
That's fair.
Not a lot of driving going on.
Well, the defense is certainly not in rotation, right? Like, they're not actually getting the defense in rotation with the driving kick because they're not driving all the way to the rim. So you're not bending the defense enough to generate clean looks on the kick. Like, that's really what it's been coming down to lately.
Yeah, there just hasn't been a lot of vertical rim pressure from anyone. You know, no one's rolling hard. No one's attacking hard. When teams were, you know, hard hedging on Darius, there was just a lot of possessions where everything just had to reset, which is what the defense wants. The dream of a hedge and recover is that nothing happens. No shot is put up. And the Cavs were giving into that a lot. Again, they were just, they were just trying to run pick and roll against the Heat zone. Like, it's
right.
The one set you can't just run pick and roll against a zone. You have to flash to open space. The Cavs have good enough players to do that, you know, and they just weren't.
Yeah, it's something they've done routinely. Like, they've seen a fair bit of zone thrown at them this season.
Yeah, and like, obviously the shooting is just a thing. They went like 9 of 29 against the Heat from three, 7 of 28 or 7 of 29. Against the T-Wolves, and, you know, start 1 of 12. So, talk about one of the coldest, you know, 9-quarter stretches of the season, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, again, I don't care if they're not hitting if the execution is good. And I know this is kind of a boomer take, but I think if you run sets with a little bit more efficiency and purpose, you make more open threes. I believe that if you are.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would even push back at that, right? Like, so often the difference between a successful set and an unsuccessful set is the intensity with which you run it, right? Like, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. So, like, I thought they did that tonight, you know? And I do think George Niang gets a big shout out tonight. He led the team in plus minus, and obviously hitting 5 threes is very, very nice, but I thought he played with that level of decisiveness that kind of pushed the rest of the team forward. Obviously the team talked about Marcus Morris, getting ejected with the flagrant two on Nick Richards, as maybe a bit of a catalyst. I think, you know, from my seat, and obviously I'm not in the locker room, so who or on the bench, so who knows? From my seat, is George hitting 2 threes on the 2 of the next 3 possessions, pretty much right after that. That, like, just ungunked everything.
You could tell, like, just from like a body language, there was like an exhale collectively. It's okay. Thank God these threes are finally falling. Like, what we're doing is getting results.
And by the way, the team's gotta make threes right now. Like, they don't have elite pull-up or off-the-dribble options, especially with Darius not playing his best. They've got to make threes when they got to take a lot of threes. They got to make a lot of threes, and then the bigs have to mash, especially in the two big formats. So, like, I think that's why they won this game. You know, they hit 17 threes. They got up 41. Which is obviously very nice, but they didn't shoot the cover off the ball. So, you know, 41% is nice, but it's not unbelievable.
Yeah. It
wasn't one of those crazy nights, but they did that. And then Mobley and Allen combined to shoot 15 to 21 from the field. Just slipping into open space and finishing with decisiveness. And in Mobley's case, finishing with force. So, I've always felt like that is the kind of a very key performance indicator for them, especially for Evan, is like when you are at the four and they've got a guy like Grant Williams, who is tough, but it's not a 7-footer.
No.
Like, are you going to finish over him? Are you going to put your shoulder into him? And then, you know, are you going to get deep seals and finish? Are you going to bump, fade away? I thought a lot of his finishes were going towards the basket tonight, and I thought that was really encouraging. So I think if there is a blueprint for this current version of the Cavs to win, it looks a lot like this.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like, when you talk about generating rim pressure, the bigs are going to play a big role in that, right? Like whether it's the big-to-big passing as a means to attack, you know, zones and things that teams can throw at you, just their ability on the roll to find guys, like they're going to need to lean on them. And, you know, as they're in a tricky spot because I think on the one hand, you want to get Darius, Evan, and Jared as much time together as possible so that you can start to develop some sort of chemistry before playoffs. But if Donovan and Max aren't out there, it does get really hard to play all three of them together with Okoro and with some of the other options they have because there's just not a lot of spacing. So, like, as much as there's problem solving that can be done within those lineups, there's also like a very high degree of difficulty when it comes to those problems, right? Like it's like training with ankle weights on in some ways, right? So I do think, especially with Mobley on a minutes restriction, staggering them a fair bit is probably the way that you're going to go. But I do think getting Mobley back and having him play that type of basketball that's attacking the rim and opening up opportunities like that, I do think that's important so that they can start, you know, connecting on more threes, getting the defense in rotation, and just performing better as an offense overall.
Absolutely. I think we should talk a little bit about Darius. Yeah. It started out ugly. I think he missed his first four shots.
Mm-hmm.
Had a turnover or two. This wasn't an eye-popper game, but this felt closer to the Darius I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on kind of how he played tonight.
I definitely think it was a step in the right direction. We know how well he can play. It's just about finding consistency. It's trying to get to that, you know, standard of excellence that we see on a pod-to-pod basis with Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Darius was definitely connecting more with his teammates in this here game. I thought he did get to the basket a little more. I still am sensing, you know, a hesitancy to get all the way to the rim to, you know, initiate contact with the body to throw off the timing of the shot blocker. Those are some of the things that I'm still noticing. I would still like to see him, you know, let it fly and not pump fake when the ball rotates around the perimeter. Still seen that a few too many times, but I do think in terms of his playmaking and just overall ability to kind of raise the floor of the team, tonight was a step in the right direction. Like that's what you want to see. And hopefully, you know, that little flurry of scoring that he had with the game out of hand helps him, you know, regain some confidence and see the ball going through the net. Because, you know, some of these games recently have been, okay, he's getting good shots. He's taking a lot of threes. They're just not falling. And with, you know, the guys that are missing from the lineup and you know, almost nobody really playing their A game outside of maybe like George Niang right now, if those shots aren't falling, it's not going to open up opportunities for him, and it's not going to open up opportunities for other people. So it really, like, we're kind of riding that make or miss roller coaster with him right now.
By the way, isn't it BS for George that he finally starts to hit his stride right as the rest of the team starts to fall apart? You know, like man, if he was playing like this when during the 18-2 stretch, people would be losing their minds,
right?
and probably have lost less games. So I guess you just don't get that. Yeah. Here's my take on Darius's game, and I want to hear your thoughts on this because it's not backed by any data. It was a vibes take.
Okay, I like a vibes take.
I felt like his playmaking tonight was more on schedule and matching the rhythm of the rest of the team than it has been as of late. He's had other games where he's had, you know, a decent assist total. He had 10 tonight, but a lot of it came on the herky jerk stuff, the Steve Nash wraparounds, the weird, you know, kind of like interior passes at angles no one would expect. And I felt like he contributed to the overall machine really, really well tonight. And like, I like the off tempo stuff. You know, I love those kind of herky jerk things that throws things off. That's part of what makes him special. I just think that at its worst this season, it's become a feature, not like a pleasant surprise. You know, mm-hmm. It's been the only way that he's gonna play make is by doing that. He passes it a beat before you would think he was going to pass it, and the guy's hands got to be ready. He was making a lot of really great reads just in rhythm. I think about the skip pass to Karis, who was in the dunker spot for the dunk. I think about the pass in semi-transition to Merrill in the fourth that blew the game open. Like, I just felt like everyone else got to kind of like, either he got onto everyone else's frequency or they got onto his in a way that I'm not sure I've seen a ton this year. So I thought that was very fun to see.
I would agree with that assessment. I didn't feel like there were as many kind of like aimless possessions where, you know, he's kind of probing it and not really generating anything. I wouldn't be surprised if this was, you know, he had the 10 assists. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a high number of potential assists, because it really felt like he was generating a lot of good opportunities and, you know, getting guys to the line. I am interested to go back and rewatch this one. I gotta be honest with you, Carter, I'm not going to rewatch the Miami game. That's one of the few that isn't getting a second viewing. I'm sorry, I'm a bad co-host, but that's just the way it is. But I am interested to go back and watch this one, and you know, some of it is obviously going to be attributed to what Charlotte is defensively, who they have available.
They're not a good defensive team, must be said.
But I think when you look at how Darius has played, you know, basically since the Pelicans game, he's been making things a little harder on himself than it needed to be. And I did not feel like that was the case tonight. Like, even when, you know, the scoring wasn't necessarily there, I thought the scoring wasn't there because he was getting guys the ball and he was getting everybody involved more than, you know, not being a factor and not being present within the Cavs offense. Like, I definitely noticed him on a possession-to-possession basis more. And, you know, that's not the standard he's held to, right? Like,
of course,
as a leader of the team, the expectations are so much higher. But when we're talking about
this, frankly, a game like tonight should be kind of the floor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe not 10 assists, but like the overall contribution in reliability should be the floor. Like, all-star caliber players should be helpful every night.
Yeah. And you know, it's been an incredibly tough season for him. Obviously, you know, whether it's the hamstring, the hand, the jaw, and then I think it was against the Pelicans where he rolled his ankle, and you know, then it happened again on Friday against the Wolves where, you know, I thought his third quarter shift against the Wolves was the most uneven and probably his worst shift of the season. But it started with, you know, him, I think he scored two baskets, and then he had the assist to Allen where he rolled his ankle in that possession, and then just everything fell apart. So, like, it's been one of those years. And obviously, like, we have a higher standard because I make no secret of it. Like, that's my guy. That's my favorite player to watch when he's rolling, and he's just not at that level yet. But I do think when you talk about this kind of floor raising play, being decisive, getting guys, quality opportunities, high assist to turnover ratio, like, that is what you expect at the very least on a night to night basis for Darius. So I'm
and hopeful.
These next couple of games are going to be something that he can start stacking those successes.
Yeah, and it was nice to see a bit of the classic Darius fun sprinkled in at the end of the game. Saves the ball going out of bounds, then flies back in for the drifting corner three that splashes to. I think that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back. I think everyone called off the dogs after that one, and I thought that was also, you know, not just as important as just playing a very solid end-to-end game, but it was nice to see. It was also nice to see Ice have a nice bounce back game. It was also nice to see the Isaac Okoro wing step back three return. He doesn't get to take those too often anymore now that we're good. You know, that was his most reliable jumper his rookie year. And it kind of felt nice to see him have to break it out with the shot clock falling down. But yeah, just hitting three threes. He'd been in a slump, and even just getting seven attempts up, I think is probably less about Isaac's play and more symptomatic of how few advantages the Cavs offense were getting in the last three games. But seven attempts was nice. And again, I really do like it. His step back, it always looks really good to me coming off his hands.
I also like seeing him go out there and get three offensive rebounds as well. Like, you look at the Miami games as well as Minnesota, only one rebound in all those games, right? Like, ugh. 3 points, 5 points, 7 points, only one rebound, four assists against Minnesota, but only one combined in the two Miami games, right? Like, I understand the way Miami was playing Cleveland defensively doesn't really lend itself to, you know, the cutting opportunities and other things like that. But like, he's been in a funk, but I can accept and understand offensive funks. It happens to every player in the league, but the effort needs to be there. You need to be contributing on the glass. You need to be, you know, kind of have that Josh Hart type impact from the wing position. Like, I think when Isaac's really making a difference, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing him get the steals. You're seeing him get the blocks. You're seeing him generate extra opportunities, getting out in transition to get the Cavs easy buckets. Like, what they really needed in that Miami game, not to continue to harp on it, but like, get up tempo, like, push the pace. Do not let them set quick passes to beat the full court press. And none of that was really present. So for him to go out there and get three offensive rebounds, that's almost as encouraging to me as the shots starting to fall, because there'll be ebbs and flows when it comes to the jump shot, especially for a lower volume player. Like, you're just not going to get enough attempts for it to normalize within a game itself. You need to make the difference in other areas. So
yeah, you're not allowed to be invisible. And there were stretches, especially in those Miami games, where he wasn't even doing a particularly good job keeping Jimmy from getting his. You know, so it was like the worst of both worlds. Jimmy was cooking us anyway, and Isaac wasn't, you know, he was neither seen nor heard. He was a Milford man. one last person I wanted to talk about before we wrap tonight was Craig Porter Jr., who turned in, I thought, his best shift in months. Mm. There were a lot of possessions over the last month or so where he would get 8 to 12 to 14 minutes, and a lot of invisible games for him where, you know, guys were reading the scout, they were going under on him, and just kind of some aimless possessions where he wasn't able to get in. He got vertical in this game, both in the literal sense. He had a few of his kind of patented above the rim finishes, a tough and one, but also just got, you know, played up and down. And for a Cavs team that's been desperate for rim pressure, it's been disappointing that they haven't been able to get it from him in his minutes. So I feel like it's been a nice little, like, hey, don't forget about me, guys. Like, I'm not going to be like, it's not like Craig Porter is going to be important to this team's success or failure in the postseason this year, or at least if he is, something's probably gone amiss, or, you know, I don't know, anything can happen. But, you know, it was a bit of a reminder to me of like, hey, don't forget me. I'm still growing. I'm still learning over here. And you know, 9-4 is nothing crazy, but he also hit a step back three. He also took a corner three as the ball swung to him, which I thought was encouraging. He didn't hesitate at all, which was nice to see. And I believe he had a nice block on a transition layup attempt. So I felt like he had his most impactful shift in a while, and it's not like he played a ton of minutes. He only played 14.
Yeah, and when you talk about turning points, I thought the and one that he got was one of those moments for the Cavs, right? Like where you just start to feel, okay, there's a little bit of momentum. Ultimately, I agree with you. I think the threes that George knocked down really kind of opened up the floodgates and got the Cavs into the rhythm. But that was some much needed rim pressure, right? Like that was him doing what you want from Craig Porter Jr., right? Like filling a box score, getting to the rim, attacking. I've liked his confidence. Like I think I want to look at the difference between his form and just his 3-point attempts earlier in the year to now. I feel like it's a little bit more compact and a little quicker. I haven't looked at a side by side, but I just feel better about the ball leaving his hands. It looks like a more normal kind of trajectory with the shot as well. I wonder if he's been working with Noah's Ark there to get that right. But you know, it's just, that's the kind of stuff you want to see, right? Like you want to see, okay, even though you're not getting the playing time with the big club, there's the little intricacies of the game that you're figuring out. You're having these kind of breakthrough possessions or shifts, in the minutes that you are called upon. That's what you want to see from a player development standpoint.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Also, Marcus Morris got the junkyard chain tonight.
Oh my
hell
goodness.
Yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, buddy. All right. I was not expecting that. I thought maybe it was Evan.
Short shift. I gotta be the least minutes for a junkyard chain recipient. Must be said. I'll bet on that number.
It's got to be up there. I've been a little off Twitter protecting my peace here because, you know, sometimes I just kind of have to understand, like,
I can get you off the Discord, buddy.
Yeah, you know, that'd be helpful too. But, you know, sometimes, and this thought does translate to that, I'm sitting there and I'm like just grumpy looking at my phone being like, I can't believe people are jumping to these conclusions. Why aren't they like, you know, putting together their thoughts first and putting it into, you know, a well-reasoned, you know, nuanced take like we do on the podcast. And then I remember, they're under no obligation to do so. This is frustrating. This sucks. Like when things
also, they don't have a podcast.
Yeah, they don't have. Well, you know, some of them might, but the incentives aren't really there. Like I think, you know, doing the pod has made me a more balanced and normal human being. Which, you know, the bar's in hell. That's, but
yeah, keep telling yourself that.
No, I think I that's just, you know, that's a reminder of just how unhinged I was as a fan.
It was a different era, man. It certainly was.
But, you know,
I've had to delete so many embarrassing old Facebook posts of grumpy fan Carter.
The Facebook memories is always just it's a quick delete.
I'll tell you what, it makes me hate myself, which keeps me grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, wards off, you know, prospective embarrassments. So it's really a great twofer. And then and sometimes I get to see cute old pictures of my kids now, but mostly it's about avoiding embarrassment.
Yeah. I'm staring at some of the old pictures of my dog. So that's all I got. But you know, I've come to the realization that I was looking for things to get mad at. I'm protecting my peace a little bit more because you know, people are going to vent in the moment. It is what it is. We've got a lot of season left, even though it's 10 games. It's going to feel like a lot. And then, you know, there's a time off, right? Like there's going to be that play and break. The Cavs are basically going to be able to have a bit of a training camp. You hope that they can get healthy because historically, when the Cavs have had some time off, when they've had kind of these little camps, they usually start the season incredibly well. Didn't happen this year because, you know, they just got wrecked by injuries right off the bat. But I'm hopeful, right? Like when you hear that the guys are back resuming basketball activities, if they can get on the court during this road trip, get that homestand, take care of business there, and then go through some practice, like you can potentially get on to the right foot, and you, as fans, we're hopeful that they can put it together for the playoffs and maintain the seeding position they're in, because you know it's unbelievable. It looked like there was no chance that they were going to be a 50-win team to start the year with the injuries and the way that they started. Then it looked like, oh, they're easily going to surpass 51 wins. Now it's going to take 7-3 just to match last year's win total, right? Like
crazy.
It's going to be tough, and we'll see if they take care of business. We will be back on the podcast on Wednesday. Hopefully, you know, we get to focus on macro stuff.
Two Hornets games, baby.
Hopefully we get to have a little bit more of a macro podcast, and there's not a lot of interesting things to discuss from that game, because, you know, I want the result to feel similar to this one. It's very, very damn important. But no matter what happens there, we will be going live after that Hornets game on Wednesday. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.